The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Love that last song because it fits in with today's message so perfectly. God is faithful to us and to everything about Him. So we're going to talk about God's salvation today. Now, Jeremiah and I were texting back and forth. That's how we have staff meetings at Remnant. We use X and we talk back and forth to each other. And I told him, well, at least this week's message doesn't have any killing in it. There for a while, it was like we're on a murder mystery tour or something. There's more coming. All right, today's message is called Grace on the Damascus Road. So if you got your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 9. Now let's open up with a word of prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you. What a great God you are. So faithful. So loving. So forgiving, God. I pray that today you will open our hearts to fully embrace what you have to say for us. Thank you, God. Bless us now. In your name. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Meanwhile, Saul was... Okay, the last time I preached, Saul was there when Stephen was stoned. Now remember, in the Bible, when they say somebody got stoned, they use real rocks. Okay, no foreign substances allowed. They just use rocks. Steve was stoned. And the first verse of chapter 8 says, and Saul consented to his death. He was happy. So now let's look at him. Acts chapter 9, he's a chapter later. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Oh, that's good. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. Can you imagine if somebody snuck in that door right here with an AR-15 and said, all right, if you're not ready to die for your faith, beat feet. I wonder how many of us would be left. I'd like to think I would stay. On the other hand, I'm kind of a chicken. There's this whole dying thing that doesn't sound good. You ever look at some people and think there's no way God can change them? Oh, ye of little faith. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. They're politicians. They cuss like a sailor. They act like they invented bad decisions. They're not just going to hell. They're actively pursuing it. They got the foot on the gas and no brakes. Some of us have family members like that. Maybe some of us are like that. Maybe some of us used to be like that. We got friends, we got coworkers like that. We all know somebody. And if we were honest, there were probably moments when people looked at us and thought, no, God may help everybody else, but that guy? No. That's going to take a miracle. In Acts chapter 9, we find a miracle. The story of Saul, a violent man, an angry man, a religious man without a relationship with Jesus. Saul was religious. He was Jewish to the bone. And these people that came and said there was a Messiah, he felt like it was his mission to stamp them out. You think God can change a guy like this? Here's the thing. Grace specializes in impossible people. If you're an impossible person, grace was made just for you. So let's get into this. First of all, nobody is beyond the reach of God's grace. Verse 1 and 2 again of Acts 9. Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. Those are followers of Jesus that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. He's uttering threats with every breath. And this is a guy that's obsessed. This is a guy that everybody he sees, are they Christians? You look like a Christian to me. I will kill you. I will crush your skull. That's strong language. He wasn't casually against Christianity. He hated Christians. He arrested them. He persecuted them. He approved when Stephen was stoned to death. This guy, you getting the feeling he doesn't like Christians? Have I made that point clear enough? Did Saul like Christians? We'll work on it later. Saul wasn't searching for Jesus. But Jesus came searching for Saul. And I got news for you. You may not be looking for Jesus today, but he's looking for you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got something great for you. You may not be looking, but he is. That ought to encourage you. Some people think that we can only be saved if we start looking for God first. But sometimes God interrupts a life before they even start looking for him. He just steps in and says, you know what? You didn't ask, but here I am. God can walk right into the rebellion in your heart and change you. Aren't you glad that God didn't wait till you got your act together to come to you? See, because the truth is, none of us came to God polished, right? We didn't come to God all polished up in our suits and finery and say, you know, Lord, I'm going to do you the favor of coming to you today. See, now look, God's a loving God. I'm sure he would accept you. If I were God, however, you'd become a frog. Look, we came broken, right? We came guilty. We came needing mercy, and mercy met us. This is the reality of our lives before we knew Christ. Romans 5:8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You're out there sinning, having a grand old time, you think? Christ has already died for you. He's already given his life. And he's watching over you saying, today, come home today. Today's the day. Not after we cleaned up. Not after we fixed ourselves. Not after 12 easy payments of self-improvement. He loved us while we were still a mess. And some of that might offend some of you. Well, Jerry, I wasn't a mess. Yeah, you were. Spiritually, you were a mess. Maybe socially, maybe the rest of your life, you're a mess. But if you don't know Jesus, you're not actively living for Jesus, your life's a mess. Because it's not everything it can be. Saul proves that nobody is too hard for God. That rebellious child, God can save him. The bitter atheist you know, God can save him. The addicted neighbor, God can save them. The person that everybody else has given up on, God can save him. And this may be the hardest thing of all for you to believe. He can even forgive you. A lot of Christians, the hardest person for them to forgive is themselves. It's not the people that hurt them. They can forgive that. It's not all the other stuff going on. They can forgive that. The hardest thing for us sometimes to deal with is that God forgave us. We want to put some kind of conditions on God's forgiveness for us. Well, I know he forgives me, but, you know, there was all that time in my life. It's gone. Whatever happened before you left, before you met Jesus, gone. Cast in the sea of forgetfulness. And Jesus posts a no fishing sign. If your sins are covered by the blood of Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, whenever your sins come up, that's not God. Or your old sins, that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the devil. That's you feeling guilty. You know what? Praise God, my sins are forgiven. Have I got a past? Yeah. Have I got things in my past I hope you never find out about? Yeah. Like the time I stuck a hot burrito in my pocket? Yeah. Oh, crud. Actually, I wrote about it. It's on my website. If grace could reach Saul, grace can reach anybody. Okay? You ready for this? This is audience participation time. Put your name there where Saul's is. If grace could reach Jerry Godsey, or because if grace could reach your name here, God can reach anybody. Or if grace can reach Saul, grace can reach me. Don't sleep on that. Don't act like, well, that's for everybody else. No, it's for you. Jesus knows exactly who we are. Acts 9, verse 3, as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Saul is going about his merry way trying to kill more Christians. And this bright light shines, and Saul gets struck blind. Now, I love this moment, not because he gets struck blind. I love this moment because Jesus called him by name. He didn't look down and say, hey, you. Hey, Sparky. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus called him by name. Jesus knew exactly who Saul was, not just his public reputation, not just his sins, not just his failures. He knew everything about him. Jesus knows your name. He knows your public reputation. He knows your sins. He knows your failures. He knows everything about you. Some people think it works like this. Some people think, if I can hide enough of my mess, maybe God will accept me. All right, let's examine this. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, sees everything, but you're good enough to hide your sin from him. God already knows. He knows your secrets. He knows your failures. He knows the thoughts that nobody else can hear. And he still offers grace. I guarantee you, some of you knew the things that were in my past, and maybe present, you would never come back to Remnant ever again. You're like, yeah, that guy's not worth listening to. And you know what? Before I met Jesus fully, you're right. But today, I stand here with a redeemed heart, doing my best to preach the gospel, knowing that I am one rebellious action away from throwing it all away. You can't shock God with your past. You can shock your family. Might shock your preacher. I'm trying to think of a gentle way to say this. Tell me things I didn't really need to hear about their lives and proclivities. And you kill cats on your own? That's for you. You can shock Facebook. Ooh, Facebook. But you're never going to shock God. You know why? Because he saw it happen. Hello? It's not like he said, oh, I missed that. No, he saw it happen. You're not shocked by it. Jesus didn't die for a cleaned up version of you. Oh. Sorry, skip that. Read that. He didn't die for a cleaned up version of you. He died for the real you. See, at least when Jeremiah speaks, he doesn't miss slides. I miss slides. I get caught up in stuff. You don't clean up to take a bath. It's kind of dumb. Well, I really need a bath. Give me a hose. Just jump in the bath. Where do we get this idea that somehow we can clean ourselves up and be holy enough to be accepted by an all-holy God? Yeah, no. Here's another thing. Grace doesn't just forgive us. It changes us. I'm about to go to Midland, as my grandpa used to say. Look at Acts 9, verse 7. The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. The mighty persecutor of the church, the one who's going to kill everybody. Now somebody's leading him like a toddler by the hand. Because when you truly encounter Jesus, your pride starts dying. Let that sink in for a second. When I hear people recount their sins and they're boasting about them, they're going back. They're going back. For 3 days, Saul waits, and he prays, and he fasts. And then God sends Ananias. And Jeremiah preached about Ananias' fire. This is a different guy, because that Ananias that Jeremiah talked about is dead. This guy's alive. Just saying, don't get confused. Look at verse 10. Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias! Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to the straight street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man named from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. I've shown a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles, to the kings, as well as the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, imagine being Ananias. Hey, Ananias. I want you to go to this guy named Saul. Yeah, you've heard of him. I want you to go talk to him. And I said, Lord, are you sure about this? Because he's not a good guy. I may not walk out of that room alive, or at least not in chains. But look what God said. God said, Saul is my chosen instrument. I've got a job for him that nobody else can do. The church saw a terrorist. God saw a preacher. The church saw a persecutor. God saw a missionary. The church saw a problem. God saw potential. Whatever people think when they look at you, God does not look the same way. Don't let other people drag you down. Well, Jerry, you're just a chubby bald guy. How can you preach? I don't know. But I'm doing it. God looked at me, a kid from the inner city of LA, broken home, lost. Now, I went to church all the time. My grandpa was a pastor, but I went to church, but I was lost. God looked at me and said, everybody else sees something else. I see a preacher. I see somebody that's going to touch lives. Why? I don't know. God saw something in me that nobody else did. When I told my dad I was getting my first set of credentials, he said, oh, you're still trying to do the preacher thing, huh? Thanks for the word of hope. Aren't you glad God sees what we can become through grace? I'm a car guy. Love cars. I can look at a rusty hulk of a car and not see a rusty hulk of a car. I see. Nice and smoothed out. Nice set of rims. Just the right ride height so it looks stanky. That's a good thing. That car looks stanky. I don't see a rust bucket. I see a car that has potential. God looks at your life and he says, I want you to be stanky. No, he didn't. God looks at your life and says, I don't see a rust bucket. I see something beautiful. When Paul received his sight, he became a different man. The same mount that once threatened Christians started preaching Christ. The same feet that carried arrest warrants started carrying the gospel, because that's what grace does. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to God, to Christ, has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Now, let me tell you something. Grace is not just pardon. We release guys from jail. They're pardoned. But everybody knows they're still the same guy. They've just been in jail. That's not grace. Grace is transformation. You were this person. You were rusty and broken down and hurt and a mess. But now, grace has touched you. And your life is getting better. Now, are we where we're supposed to be? I'm still working at it. I'm still trying to get more and more like Christ. There's still a lot of Jerry Godsey in me. And the problems I have are caused by the Jerry Godsey part of me. That may not apply to you. Does to me. See, Jesus doesn't merely improve people. Don't lose this. He makes them new. New. I bought a car once. I bought a 73 Cougar. And it looked okay. Then it started sanding on the body and found out that the car was about 1,000 pounds of overweight and it was all body filler, covering up the rust and all the dents that nobody bothered to fix right. I looked at that car and I thought, oh, this is going to cost a lot of money to fix. A lot of us have just smooth body filler over the rust in our lives. God's got a power sander, not just a sanding block. God's got the big Walt dual DA, the one that really goes after stuff. like 60 grit sandpaper. Not the fine stuff. I mean, he goes after it. And then he makes you new. He's going to take all that rusted out, all that broken down, and he's going to replace it with brand new. Praise God. Salvation is available to everyone or anyone who calls on Christ. The beauty of Acts 9 is this. If Saul can be saved, anybody can be saved. Salvation is not based on how good we are. It's based on how good Jesus is. Some people think, I've gone too far. No, you haven't. I failed too many times. No, you haven't. I've made too many mistakes. No, you haven't. Which one of these is you? Because every time you say that, the follow-up in your heart ought to be, no, I haven't. Gone too far. No, I haven't. God's grace is there for me. I've made too many mistakes. No, God's grace is there for me. I failed too many times. Nope, God's grace is there for me. If you fail, get up, dust off your britches, and start walking again. I love football. Walter Payton, of my beloved Chicago Bears. The Lord is watching. Peyton ran for somewhere like 15,000 yards. That's cool. But of that 15,000 yards, every 2 or 3 yards, maybe 10 if it was a good run, some 300-pound steroid-induced behemoth tried to kill him. And what did Walter do? He got up, went back to the huddle. Because if you give up after the first hit, you never get to 15,000 yards. If you give up the first time something goes wrong in your life after you accept Christ, you got to get up and start again. If you give up, you never get where God wants you to be. You never get where you're going. The cross is still greater than your sin. The blood of Jesus is still enough. Listen to me now. And the mercy of God has not run out. Take a photo of that. And this week, when you're down, when you feel like you've gone too far, you've made too many mistakes, you've fallen one last time, the cross is still greater than your sin. The blood of Jesus is still enough. And the mercy of God has not run out. Man, stick that on your forehead. Tattoo it inside your eye. No, do that. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Does that include you? Yes. Sparky, yes. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're part of everyone. Go on, do it. They might need to hear it right now. You're part of everyone who can be saved. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus. The rich, the poor, the addicted, the religious, the broken, the doubter, the prodigal, the church kid, the person hanging on by a thread. If you call on Jesus, he will save you. Not maybe. Not eventually, not after probation, he will save you. Don't lose this fact. How do you get to Jesus? Call his name. Surrender your heart. I'll give you in 2 weeks, we're doing one of the Wednesday Bible studies is on Jesus as the Son of God. And there's a quote that I use. This is a guy who says, I tried to add Jesus to my life and it didn't work. No, that's not going to work. Jesus isn't somebody you add. He's somebody you surrender to. Boy, there's a whole lot of difference there, isn't it? If you've got a glass of motor oil and somebody puts some lemonade in it, you're going to say, oh, this is good lemonade. No, it's motor oil, you moron. Don't drink it. You don't get to just add Jesus to your existing life. He's going to come in and change things. He's going to come in and mold and shape, and you've got to surrender to that to get where you need to go. That's a preview of two Wednesdays from now. Didn't cost you nothing. Acts 19. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked? And didn't he come here to arrest him and take him in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his words that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Can you imagine Christians in the crowd? They heard about this Saul guy. How he used to kill everybody. And all of a sudden he's preaching about Jesus. Is it a trap? It's like that Star Wars guy. It's a trap. So they go hear him. And it's powerful. It's powerful. In fact, it cuts so deep that the people that he was on their side, they can't refute what he's saying. Grace rewrites stories. God wants to rewrite your story. His grace wants to come in and change your life and not... I hear it all the time. Well, I'm afraid to become a Christian because I don't want to be a nerd. Shut up. I'm the same person, personality-wise, before I met Jesus. Now, some of you may think, well, that's too bad. Shame on you. You know what changed was me waking up in the morning with a headache. What changed was me worrying about all the things that my worldly lifestyle was causing me to worry about. What changed is I had peace in my heart for the first time. That's what changed when Jesus came to me. I didn't automatically break out the white shirt and, you know, black bow tie and start talking to people like this, because yea, verily, God hath done many great things. I'm Jerry. I didn't have to put on airs to follow Christ, and you don't either. But God will rewrite your story. You might feel unworthy of salvation. Maybe guilt has convinced you that God is done with you. The Damascus Road says otherwise. Jesus still meets people on broken roads. Jesus still changes lives. Jesus still forgives sinners, and Jesus still saves completely. If he can save Saul, save anybody. Some of you are a little slow on that. If he could save Saul, I like that. Today, Jesus is calling your name. The same way he called Saul. He's calling your name. Not to condemn. I'm going to condemn you. Not to destroy, but to save. You don't have to leave here carrying guilt. You don't have to leave here trapped by your past. And look, some of you say, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. I get it. But how many of you are still trapped by your past? Still trapped by the notion that I'm not good enough. I got news for you, Sparky. You're not. But God is. I'm not good enough, but through me, God is. Grace is available. Mercy is available. And forgiveness is available. All you have to do is ask. I'll tell you something else on a side. I'm going to post this on our website when I get home, I hope. If not, it'll be tomorrow. You need to send this to people in your life who feel like God is done with them. We're going to change lives. There's going to be some Damascus Road experiences this week. God's good. And He wants to work in your life. Christ can. And Christ will save everyone who comes to Him. Your family member that's an atheist, your neighbor that's not a very nice guy, your coworker, you, God can and will save you. He wants to see something come of your life. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your grace. God, right now you're speaking to hearts. People who came in, maybe broken or maybe thinking that, yeah, I'll go to church, but it's not really doing anything for me. Came in worried about the lives they lead or the things that are broken inside of them. But God, you're here today to offer grace. Grace that forgives. Grace that changes. Grace that offers eternal life. Right now, your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands or anything. But if you've got a part that's been holding you back, take that to Him right now and say, God, take over this part of my life. I'm not worthy, but you love me anyway. God, cover the people in this room right now. People listening by audio or video, God, cover them with your grace. Cover them with your love. Bless us now, God. Bless us, God. Move in us. We ask it in your name. Amen.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to live.